I want to go on with Romans, but the Lord is just telling us belonging to a certain group doesn't mean anything. If you're a Jew, that's great, you're chosen. But if you don't live like one, you'll be outside. And there'll be many who come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they will recline at the table. But you who walk with me, hear me every day, feed on my body and blood, you could be out. It's just warning us. It's not belonging to a certain group. Now, we go on with this Paul giving us foundations for hope. He's very serious. I mean, do I have hope? Well, do you realize that the cosmos is not where it ought to be? You know, do you hear it groaning? You see? And do you groan yourself? Not just because, well, it's going to be winter, we don't like winter, no. But because so much of the world is in darkness. Does that bother you? Do you groan waiting for the redemption of your own body? Then the Holy Spirit's with you. So we had those two yesterday. Creation groaning, and we're groaning. And today, we have the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. But also be translated, we don't know what to pray for as we ought. For the Spirit himself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. Creation is groaning, we're groaning, the Holy Spirit is groaning. He dwells in us, moving us. You know, this, the Holy Spirit, by essence, if I'm allowed to talk that way, is the return to the Father from the Son. And so, you see, he intercedes in us because we're not there. He groans more than we do because he sees where we are, what dangers we face, and he knows what bliss is being held out to us. Okay. And the one who searches hearts, that's the Father, knows what is the intention of the Spirit because he intercedes for the holy ones according to God's will. So a lot of our prayer is getting in sync with the Holy Spirit, who's moving in this incredible rush of love back to the Father, you know, in and through the heart of Christ, who dwells in us. And so, is that yielding to the Holy Spirit. The gift of tongues is meant to be like kindergarten exercise on what it means to yield to the movement of the Holy Spirit. And it is. It's a nice, you get the idea of what it means to yield to the Holy Spirit. But he's praying with inexpressible groanings, much more than just a gift of tongues. And it's, you see, it's the prayer of Christ. The intercession of Christ, standing before the Father right now, praying for this whole world. But, as I've said, maybe too many times already. But it has to exist here, in this poor world, just like the Eucharist. Huh? Our Lord Jesus Christ is in inexpressible glory, in his glorified humanity, still bearing the wounds of his love for us. But that intercession has to go on earth. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. See, we'll hear tomorrow as we wind up the text. Who will condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, rather was raised, who also is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. And it's that intercession that the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts, so that we're interceding with the Lord Christ. That's what the saints were doing, because they were in sync. They were purified, and they were in sync with the Lord Jesus, you see. So today, we have this description of this groaning. And then, the fourth source of hope. Commentators are not all agreed that this is a fourth, but I know it is. We know that all things work for good for those who love God. Do you know that? He says we know it. Do we know it? Who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined. And now we're back at the foundation of the world. This mystery. From all eternity, God knew that on October 25th, that's what it is, we would be here at this Mass. From all eternity, he knew that. He knows it, because there's no past and present. You see? Those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Can you imagine that that's the family we belong to? He's our brother. This is the last foundation for hope. My brother's up there. In fact, he's God. And so then, those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Did he glorify us yet? It's certainly in his intention, you see, to be called, justified, glorified. That's the rhythm. Now, many of us are baptized as infants. So, we're given divine life and our tiny little bodies and hardly awake psyches. Divine life. And some among us preserve that divine life and go right from here to there. Therese, when she made her general, and Aquinas. When I'll go to Aquinas because either one. The confessor who heard the last confession, which would be obviously a general confession, getting rid of everything before we go to heaven. Or before we get to judgment. And the confessor of Therese, after she died and there was no more question of, he said, that woman never committed a mortal sin. And when Aquinas died, the great genius at 49, he was at a Cistercian abbey at Fossa Nuova. They said, would you honor, he was walking from Naples up to Rome for a council. And he stayed at Fossa Nuova, Cistercian Abbey. And they said, would you give us a talk? He said, yeah. What would you like? Oh, tell us about the Summa. No. Give a discourse on the Song of Songs. Because they knew he knew. And he was, of course, a professional scripture professor, that's what he was. Anyway, he died there at Fossa Nuova, and the Cistercian who heard his confession afterwards said, that was the confession of a 5-year-old when it comes to innocence. That was the confession of a 5-year-old. So you can see that if we yield to the Holy Spirit, We can be pure of heart. And we can rejoice, and the Holy Spirit can work in us the intercession of Christ, who is suffering in all his members right now. And we can be there in that movement of prayer and intercession to save the world. And those are the four foundations of our hope. Okay? First, we look at the universe. We say, man, this thing needs a lot of fixing up. How do I know that? Because I have an intuition in the depth of my spirit that this is not the way it ought to be. So, God wouldn't make me aware that this isn't the way it ought to be if it's always going to be this way. But it's not always going to be this way. Creation is longing and yearning and groaning, you know, for the redemption, like, you see. And then, besides that groaning, I'm groaning myself. I long to see God, though I don't deserve it. But I can groan for it, yearn for it. And then the Holy Spirit is groaning in me, leading me to pray. And insofar as I'm praying under the movement of the Spirit, it's infallible. Because it's the prayer of Christ. And then, finally, God's plan. I mean, you look at this poor world. I mean, look at Europe. It used to be the light of the globe. There's nobody, hardly anybody there, who even knows which end is up anymore. I mean, like 20% practice. I mean, it's a mess. You see? We could go that way. But you see, we know. Should that make us complacent? Then it's not the right knowledge. Knowledge of this plan makes us so zealous for God and so zealous to intercede that the Holy Spirit would come and take God the Father's desire that every human being come to be with him forever and puts it in our heart, you see, by the heart of Christ. Isn't that what drove all the saints? Yeah. Whether it be like Therese, who just stayed at home and suffered and prayed, or like Vincent de Paul, when the Queen asked him, then I'm going to quit, when the Queen asked him, Monsieur Vincent, if you had your life to live over again. Now, this was a prodigious worker, right? He transformed the social structure of France by himself. And he said, Monsieur Vincent, if you had it to do over again, what would you do? He said, Madame la Reine, davantage. I would do more. I'm just sorry my body is so weak and I can only be at one place at a time. I would like to do more. That's the Holy Spirit.